You are listening to Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks, the podcast. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 2024. JJ Sefton is here, along with my good friend, my co-blogger, my buddy, my friend, CBD. CBD, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. It's a lovely day in northern New Jersey. We had a great Seder last night. It was very interesting. It is... perfectly timely. The Passover Seder is in part a remembrance of the travails of the Jewish people and how pretty much everybody hates us and wants us dead. And we discussed that at length last night, and it was quite interesting. And of course, you know, since I'm a Jew in America, I have lots of relatives who are rabid liberals. But there was a conspicuous absence of the liberal bullshit last night. And I think, at least in my tiny little sphere, the blinders have come off a little bit. And it was very, very interesting. Unfortunately, the meal sucked. It didn't suck, but, I just sort of mailed it in. I'm flagellating myself. So anyway, go ahead.
I'm sure it was better than, we didn't have a Seder. I'm in rural Wisconsin, where I think I'm probably the only Jew within 50 miles, but who the hell knows? But it's interesting that my supermarket still stocks, you know, a couple of Manischewitz products, on the good side, the matzo ball mix, but the matzos are like, they're horrible. They really taste like cardboard. I don't know. I'm surprised they stock it at all, but I got a nice store manager who I'm friendly with, and he's a nice fellow. But, you know, getting back to your comments, CBD, about, you know, liberals, maybe with the scales of their eyes somewhat falling, perhaps. It's a remembrance of a time of travails. And it's, as it says, it's in every generation, there is someone that rises up to try to slaughter us. And this is what we have to remember. We don't necessarily have to belabor the point, like the whole reparations bullshit. But the fact of the matter is, this is the situation as it's been for thousands of years and continues to be. And the most really horrendous and disgusting aspect of it is, as I've mentioned, and we've talked about many times, like the most theoretically, the most Jewish city on the planet, New York City, is the, you know, where Jews always felt that they were, you know, that they had a haven, is one of the epicenters of some of the worst anti-Semitism around the world, specifically on the campuses like NYU, where I used to live, are very close by. And Columbia. And it's just it's the eruption of this anti-Semitism. You have these liberals that you talked about at your Seder and elsewhere, such as I wrote about today, like Alan Dershowitz, who are just shocked to see that there's anti-Semitism within the universities and within the Democrat Party, and they can't understand how this could possibly be. And it's like, I mean, like, where have you guys been? You know, Columbia University was the home of not only Barack Obama, but Rashid Khalidi, who was the infamous anti-Jewish, rabidly anti-Israeli professor who went on to go from the University of Chicago to Columbia when Obama, when he was in Chicago, gave him a testimonial farewell dinner. And the tape is so inciting and insensate, if you will, that it's kept still in the vaults of the Los Angeles.
But, you know, something, Columbia isn't newly anti-Semitic. I don't know if you recall the name Edward Said.
Oh, yes.
He was a longtime Columbia professor. He was a fucking rabid anti-Semite who simultaneously claimed, revolutionary chops for the Palestinians, but denied it to the nascent nation of Israel. So, you know, Columbia has embraced anti-Semitism for a very, very long time, at least 40 years. And, you know, the number of rabid anti-Semites on their faculty right now is shocking. And what really surprises me is that, you know, Columbia is in the heart of New York City. Folks, if you don't know, it's in Upper Manhattan. And it was the gold standard for every smart Jewish kid in New York, in the whole area. Oh, you're going to Columbia. Well, okay, you can't afford it, so you'll go to City College. Nowadays, that's a little bit different. City College is a total shithole. But Columbia, up until recently, was a superb school. But it has become probably the most important place in America for anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist rhetoric, and it comes right out of the preface of the professorships.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and by the way, City College at one point was considered, this goes way, way back into the 40s, up until into the 60s when it was, when open enrollment and all the crap happened. But before that, as a public school and a public university, it was considered one of the finest learning institutions, public or private, in the country. And there was a rivalry actually between City College and Columbia, but that's neither necessarily here nor there. But just as a point of, just to lay this down on the line, you talk about the people claiming the legitimacy of Palestinians, quote unquote, to protest, and Jews can't do that, or Israelis. Let's not lose sight of the fact that there is no such thing as Palestine. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. They do not exist. They never existed. They have no real history. They are basically Arabs or Bedouins from the region that wander in and out of the area. There never was a Palestine. It is an invention strictly of Yasser Arafat and the KGB. Post 1967 or thereabouts, after they got their asses, all the Arab countries got their asses kicked for the second or third time after trying to destroy the state of Israel. But you talk about Columbia and you talk about the professoriate being rapidly Jew-hating and rapidly anti-American. Another interesting fellow by the name of Robert Kraft, who is the billionaire owner, multi-billionaire owner of the New England Patriots, has decided to pull his checkbook because he too is shocked to see this crap going on. And you go, how could someone like him not have been aware of all of these things going on at his alma mater? That, it's one thing to sort of not be aware of it if you don't, you're not there and you're not involved, but he shells out millions and millions of dollars a year, hundreds of millions to Columbia, and he's not aware of what the hell's going on. Well, look, I guess it's better late than never that he wakes up, but this is, it's happening in the universities, and now it's happening in K to 12 all over the country, and they are
No,
out to,
that's absolutely true. It is sifting down into the into our public schools, which is a horror show. But back to Columbia. Robert Kraft might give lots and lots of money, but Qatar and Saudi Arabia and UAE, they give lots and lots of money too. That they have used the Arab world, the Gulf countries have used their billions, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars of oil revenue as a cudgel with which to beat the West. And the way they do that is in part funding these seemingly benign, study groups and organizations within our universities. But the function of these organizations is to subvert American exceptionalism, to subvert the traditional support for Israel and the Jews among the American people. And they're doing a very good job of it. And we see that in most of our universities today. And Columbia is simply ahead of the curve, but expect this to happen more and more if we don't change something.
absolutely. I mean, it will be interesting to see, yeah, for sure, Qatar, Qatar, whatever, gutter, whatever the hell you want to
Gutter,
call them,
shithole.
shithole, pisshole, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, they're going to continue this. And yes, what they could, what the Arab world and the haters of Israel were not able to achieve militarily, they are doing it by hook and by crook and by subversion. And they've, they're doing it very, very well. And it's not just this, it goes hand in hand with the same kind of anti-American, anti-Western, anti-Judeo-Christian studies that are going on at every university. And it's these people are two sides of the same rotten coin. They'll bring Israel down, they'll kill the Jews, but at the same token, they're going to bring America down, and they're succeeding between transsexualism, the open borders, the anti-capitalist movement, the racial grievance industry, diversity, equity, inclusion, you name it. It all has one goal, just to bring down the last 2,000 years of civilizational advancement, courtesy of Judeo-Christianity, the Enlightenment, and so on and so forth, and take us back to a dark age, even darker than the original one. And that's their purpose.
Well, speaking of a dark age, let's talk about President Obama. Sefton mentioned this to me right before we started this podcast, and it infuriated me. Apparently, Barack Obama, in his Passover message to America, called for empathy for those suffering in Israel and Gaza, and for solidarity with people of all religions. First of all, Passover is a Jewish holiday. He can go fuck himself. He can't co-opt it for anybody. It's ours. You can't have it. Second of all, the idea that the Palestinians, the Arabs living in what should be the state of Israel, have any standing as victims is an obscenity. October 7th put paid to that idea, and any sentient human being should realize these people are subhuman. If that is how they believe that the Jewish people should be treated, well, I'm sorry, I can't consider them human, and I certainly can't consider them part of the Passover tradition and the Passover message.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just it is disgusting, but you know,
folks, I'm sorry, but can you tell I'm a little pissed off?
Yeah, just a little bit. And believe me, I may be sort of on the mellow side, but I'm just as seething as you are, CBD, because I mean, if you go there, actually, I forgot who posted it. Maybe it was our co-blogger, KT, maybe over the weekend, where supposedly the poor put upon victims of Israeli genocide, quote unquote, the myth of that, you know, are starving. They're this, they're that. There are pictures of them literally in the midst of what's going on in Gaza, hanging out on the shore, bathing, you know, eating. The food stores are open. Everything is open. So there's no genocide. There's no starvation. There's no. I mean, look. Obviously, it's not fun to be in the path of artillery and bombs and stuff. But you only have yourselves to blame for all this stuff. You know, you are the ones that did this. And going back several years, when this attack was planned. The Palestinians are treated better in Israel than they are in any other part of the world. Every Arab nation, every Muslim nation regards the Palestinians lower than dog crap at the bottom of my shoe. And the Israelis, you know, God bless them for their own stupidity, give them jobs. They let in all the Gazans come into southern Israel to work as nannies, as day laborers, as this and that. And while they're doing that, guess what they're doing? They're gathering intelligence upon where the police stations are, where the military outposts are, and they use that as intelligence to launch the attack. And these are the same people, not even the Hamas, but civilians who are going in and kidnapping Israelis and selling them to Hamas and so on and so forth. So there are no innocent parties. You'd have to be literally a toddler who is unable to speak and is still crawling around in your underwear. I'll cut you some slack for that, but everybody over a certain age who is actively participating, forget it. You're a subhuman monster that perpetrated this, and you should be given no quarter. But
you know, if there's a silver lining to the horrendous of the horrid everything that happened on October 7th, and I'm trying to be very careful about this, but if there is a tiny little silver lining, and that is that. Many of the people who lived right along the Gaza border with Israel were left-wing. These are the people who felt that the Palestinians were simply misunderstood and that there was absolutely common ground and that if we just welcomed them into Israel and gave them jobs and allowed them to be dignified human beings, that the insanity of Hamas would disappear, would wither on the vine. And a lot of those people got killed. And some of them are, who knows how many hostages are alive.
Right.
It's an interesting slap in the face to the left in Israel that, that their most fervent, acolytes, got punched in the mouth on October 7th.
You talk about being mugged by reality, but let me tell you, that's being mugged by reality. I mean, that is really something that's and to this right now, there are people who were victims who luckily somehow managed to be released or get out of that situation. Women, especially, who in no uncertain terms, and if they were leftists, they sure as hell aren't now. They have no, they describe it in the most brutal, horrific terms what was done to them. While they were in the hands of these animals, and it's amazing that that's happening, and it had to happen that way, despite the fact that Hamas and Islam for the last 1500 years have made no bones about what their intentions are and what they mean to do, and they describe it fully in the Quran and in all their religious writings and so on and so forth, and they say it's, you know, Jews and infidels are to be killed and or enslaved if they're not converted, and they're subhumans, and that's it. And the world is to be conquered under one gigantic global Islamic caliphate. And to be right in the heart of that world, let alone being in New York City, but to be right in the heart of that and to not understand that after all this time and after all that's been done to Israelis since the founding of the state 75 years ago is just, that's inexcusable. But maybe now they've learned their lesson. As far as American Jews waking up to the insanity of the party that they've supported all their life, the Democrats and the leftists, well, maybe things are changing there too, as we discussed between Alan Dershowitz and Robert Kraft and other people.
Well, let's wait a bit before we proclaim victory. Sure. I think that Dershowitz has been shocked so many times that he's finally coming around. And Robert Kraft, you know, I don't know what his politics are, but I know that he's a rational man. But now that's not a defense of his disgusting ignorance of what is actually going on at Columbia and has been for many, many years. But, you know, you're talking about Islam. Yeah, they've been telling us very, very plainly for 1500 years, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do. And recently the West has been saying, oh, no, you don't really mean that. No, that's wrong. You're incorrect. No, really, we want to kill you. We want to start with the Jews. Then we're going to move on to the Christians. Really, that's what we want to do. No. We're misunderstanding you. Let's find common ground. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah. You know, the wake up call should have been, and this is what really gets my goat, so to speak, is after 9/11, when it should have been plain as the nose on everybody's face, just who and what these people are. It was what happened almost immediately was navel gazing. What did we do so bad to make them so angry as to have a few disgruntled people want to do this to us? And then to have W proclaim this is not, we're not at war with Islam, that we're with a war on terrorism. At that point, you just kind of threw up your hands and go, we're fucked. And then for God knows how many times after that, between the Pulse nightclub shooting, the San Bernardino shooting, all these other acts of terrorism carried out by Muslims in this country and all over the world, everybody was still navel gazing. What's going on? What did we do so wrong? You know, why? What did we do? What can we do to appease them and to make amends for them? As opposed to saying, we're at war with you, going to wipe you out for doing this.
So, excellent point. And I'm gonna illustrate it with something. I'm looking at the two Wikipedia entries for two college presidents. One is Sally Kornbluth, who is the president of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. You know, the first sentence or second sentence is in early life and education, she is Jewish. So Judaism is front and center in Wikipedia's description of Sally Kornbluth. That's fine. I don't really care. Now, let's move over to Manoush Shafiq, who is Egyptian. She wasn't born in the United States. She's Egyptian and is the current president of Columbia University. And if you search for Islam, you get no mention of it. If you search for Muslim, you get no mention of it. It's impressive. Wikipedia does not say that she is a Muslim. Wikipedia does say that Sally Kornbluth is a Jew. And that, to me, is a perfect example of what the hell is wrong with America. Our blinders are perfect. We refuse to admit that Islam is the problem.
Worse than that, I think, I mean, and maybe I'm projecting because I don't know who runs Wikipedia these days. I'm sure they're hardcore leftists, whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's just what they're doing in a sort of a sinister way, and maybe this is my Jewish radar antenna coming up. They're identifying her as Jewish, not because of her religion. They're using it almost in a way as an epithet and as an insult to her, or as a denigration of her. She's Jewish, which means she's an enemy, which means she's not a decent person. Despite the fact that Sally Kornbluth has the most leftist bona fides you can possibly imagine, and is probably about as religious a Jew as Pope Fiction Francis is as a devout Catholic, but that's neither here nor there. But that kind of rankles me. But as far as this Manoush character that you talk about, who is the president of Columbia, and we talked about this before going on the air, she right now is under the gun because she's kind of wishy-washy because she knows the spotlight is on her about dealing with these thugs who are destroying the campus and threatening Jews. And at the same token, you know, the protesters are calling for her ouster because she's not rabid enough. Meanwhile, right after 9/11, she basically came out and declared acts of terrorism are legitimate forms of protest. So it's like, go figure. Unbelievable.
Well, that's impressive. But, you know, that's par for the course for the Ivy League nowadays.
Absolutely. And by the way, Sally Kornbluth was amongst the three knuckleheads. The other one was, of course, the infamous Claudine Gay. And I forgot who the other one, I think the president of UPenn.
Yeah, the Penn. I forgot her name.
Penn, yeah. And that were brought, dragged up and exposed as the frauds that they were for the whole diversity nonsense that of which they were completely, especially Claudine Gay, was completely unqualified to run a university. But then again, considering what the universities are, I mean, maybe she has the perfect qualifications to run it. She's a rabid leftist, and it's an indoctrination center. It's not a school of higher education as we have always thought it was. So there you go.
You know, it's interesting what is, folks, and if you're not aware of what's going on at Columbia right now, they have essentially canceled classes. Everything is going to be online because the president of the university cannot guarantee the safety of the students. Now, when she says that in her mush mouth press releases, what that means in reality is that she cannot guarantee the safety of the Jewish students on campus because nobody's threatening anybody else. It's the Jewish students and faculty who are under the gun. And the problem, of course, is that they're not fighting back. What I would like to see is a large-scale, violent response to the violence being perpetrated against Jews at Columbia University. And that's not going to happen. And there are many, many reasons why it's not going to happen. But that is what is necessary. These violent Palestinian supporters, Arab supporters, Islam supporters, whatever you want to call them, need to get punched in the mouth, figuratively, preferably. But, you know, the reality of seeing a couple of your teeth on the concrete would be a very, very nice wake-up call for a lot of these people, because they have been getting away with almost murder, actually, in some cases, murder, for years and years and years. There have been no repercussions, and the repercussions need to begin today.
Well, you know, as we pointed out, CBD, a little bit earlier, is that the academia and in higher education, and now more and more in just in regular, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade, has been almost completely hijacked by the most rabid anti-American leftists you can possibly imagine. And so it begins at the head. The only way to do this is, I would say, you have to expel and kick out and prosecute anyone who is either engaging in these sort of illicit protests, and if they're engaging in actual criminal violent behavior, arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But when you have a professoriate that is egging this crap on, and a leadership and you know, alumni theoretically who are either aware of it or have their heads in the sand or cheering it, it's a much deeper and much more darker problem than we can even imagine. So I was going to say it would be nice to have, you know, Mr. We could use a man like Meyer Kahana again. But what's going to happen when Jewish students fight back? It's the Jewish students that are going to be arrested for being
violent.
That's
okay. That's okay. You know. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to foment violence here, but violence is often the correct response to violence. It's easy to say, well, you know, we should be above all that. Well, look how well it's worked out for conservatives in America, for Jews in America, for pretty much every sane person in America. It is time to change the paradigm, make these people aware of the potential for significant repercussions for their outrageous and often violent behavior.
Agreed. It's just it doesn't get easier from here, because as we all know, not only are the universities captured by hardcore leftists, but The judiciary, for the most part, is the criminal justice system is run by them. So anybody who tries to do the right thing, and you know, to coin a phrase by a certain midget racist, you know, anyone tries to do the right thing, like Daniel Penny in subduing a violent psychopath on a subway train, who unfortunately had to who lost his life in while being subdued, he's the criminal. And the criminal that wanted to hurt his fellow passengers is the martyr. And this is topsy-turvy world. The same thing would happen with, you know, the 2020 riots with George Floyd. Whatever you think of, you know, Derek Chauvin and his methods and the policing that was done, and Kyle Rittenhouse, and on and on and on. But something has got to change, because it doesn't get easier from here. And as we said, the rot is so deep and the corruption is so deep that an overturning of entire systems is only what is going to see this thing reverse course. And ugh, God help us.
No, I understand your point, and you're absolutely correct. But let's take a look at the Arizona border. There was a rancher just a couple of miles from the Arizona border who heard some shots, went outside with his rifle, and things probably escalated from there. I don't know what happened, but he did everything he was supposed to do. He called the police, he did this, he did that, and eventually he was charged with murder, even though the physical evidence was pathetically bad, actually almost non-existent. And he was on trial for the second-degree murder of a wetback, illegal alien who was found on his property, and they just declared a mistrial because the jury couldn't decide one way or the other, and that's a good thing. I don't know if this man killed this illegal alien, and neither does the court, and neither does the jury, but more and more of that has to happen before we claw back from the abyss that we are peering into.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up, and I totally agree with you. But the only way to claw back from this, or one of the ways to claw back, as the, you know, the fangs and the clutches of the state get more razor sharp and deeper and cut into the innocent victims, being the citizenry, and we are deprived of our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is how countries, and we've devolved into a banana republic in many regards, especially with what's going on with Donald Trump and the January 6th protesters and political prisoners, really. This is also how you get death squads and how you get vigilantism. You're not going to do this. Well, it'll be in the dead of night when somebody, you know, when their house burns down and nobody knows what happened, and gee, what a shame and what a tragedy that is. Of course, all the resources will be brought to bear to catch the culprits. But look, if this is what they're aiming for, and this is what they're doing, this is what they're going to ultimately, sadly, and I hope to God not, but this is what it's going to devolve into. And when people have to take the justice into their own hands, they'll do it. They'll just do it in a way when they know that nobody's looking, and they'll find somebody, and that'll be the end of it. And that's how society collapses.
I agree. Sadly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm gonna try to keep this pretty short. Sefton, yes. any last thoughts?
No, I think we've pretty much covered the waterfront on this issue. It's I mean, what's really disgusting is how the nonstop coverage of Donald Trump's, you know, this ridiculous Stormy Daniels hush money trial is happening, and everyone is having this sort of orgasmic glee that he's being kept off the campaign trail and so on and so forth. But you know something, it's all disgusting, and it's ridiculous. And you never know. I mean, it'll, you know, he may yet beat this. He may yet beat
but
these rats.
You know something? They are keeping him off the campaign trail, but he is in the news every single day in every single outlet. So, they're keeping him from his typical grandstanding on the campaign trail. But boy, oh boy, he's in every fucking headline in every newspaper in America.
Yep. You know,
so
it's almost as if
be biting them in the ass.
I say every time they mention his name or show his face, it's almost as if it's an in-kind donation to his campaign, because I think a lot of people, and we touched upon this with Jim Lakely and even before that, that a lot of people see Donald Trump, whatever you may think of him personally or his positions or whatever, they look at him, they see that he's being persecuted for his political beliefs. And there's a significant portion of people, even on the Democrat side, you know, where you would think it would be 99.99% Democrat think that, yeah, he deserves to go to jail and this is justified. Probably almost 20% of Democrats say and shake their heads grudgingly and say, yeah, he's being persecuted. That's pretty significant. So, I mean, keep it up, fellas. Keep the charges piling on. You're going to indict him all the way back into the Oval Office. And then from there, all bets are off.
From your mouth to God's ear. That would be lovely. I still listen, you know, it's exciting and it's certainly an optimistic way of looking at it. But if you take a look at the Electoral College map, he's got an uphill battle. It's going to be very difficult. And I'll say it now and I'll keep saying it until November. I was not a Trump fan. I was a DeSantis guy, but DeSantis dropped out. Trump is my man. So once again, vote early, vote often, steal your neighbor's mail-in ballots. Offer to fill out ballots for all of your friends and relatives. Do what you can. I'm saying this sort of tongue in cheek because Jim Lakely and Sefton and I talked about this, how the disgusting change in our election procedures has precipitated the shocking idea in many people that, yeah, cheating's okay because otherwise we're going to lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know something, I'll leave you with one other little news item that was disgusting. This piece of shit, Benny Thompson from Mississippi, who was on that horrible kangaroo court J6 committee, basically said that if Trump is convicted, he should not be provided with Secret Service protection in prison.
Yeah, and I saw that. That's unbelievable. First of all, the Secret Service can tell him to go fuck himself. So that would require a change in the law. So
that, the law? What's that?
Yeah, that's true. But I think the Secret Service is probably not thrilled with the idea of Donald Trump getting shanked in some shithole prison and, putting him in Rikers Island and having him shanked. That's beyond the pale.
It is beyond
the pale. Did I say that? Because every time I say that, it bites me in the ass.
Everything that we've said was beyond the pale has come to pass.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. God help us. Anyway, CBD, listen, my friend, I wish you a very, as we say in Hebrew, a zis and Pesach and a blessed Passover. May the angel of death pass over us, pass over America, save all the good people, and may he knock on the door of all the evil bastards who are bringing us and the world down. And I just want to thank everybody. I'm going in to see my doctor for a consultation tomorrow. So your prayers and your thoughts are always appreciated. So until the next one, hopefully soon and without too much pain, we will see you on the next Cut Jib Newsletter podcast. Thanks again, folks.
And folks, the real truth is that he's going in to have his wrists redone. But no, I'm kidding. Seth, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. And folks, I'm Yisrael Chai, and thanks for listening.